Praise Jesus. Diana, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay this time, John?
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay. Yeah, last time, remember, and I live out in the country. So last time, if you remember, I was having to use Wi-Fi because the cell towers and stuff, I didn't have like a good cell booster. So I got that, and I got my earbuds, and so let's just hope it stays good. So
okay, so you're like in the top of a mountain in Montana, right? I'm messing with you.
I'm out in the woods. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You ride gazelles down to the grocery store. I get it. Very good. That's very athletic of you.
One of my friends said, Diana, you're a pioneer woman now.
Nice.
Pioneer woman now. Yeah.
Hey, well. Yeah, awesome. Well, praise God. I'm going to go ahead and fade off into the background and let you give this awesome message to the listeners because we need it. Praise Jesus. So anyway, the floor is yours. The mic is yours. God bless you. Thank you for joining us.
Okay. Thank you, John. Thank you so much, you know, for this opportunity for all of us to share the things of God. What a wonderful platform. And we do. We have so much to be thankful for in this hour. And before I get started, let me just pray over this message before I go any further here. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we praise your holy name. We give you thanks for making it possible for your people to come together like this from all over the earth. And Lord, I ask that you anoint my lips, and I ask that you touch the ears of everyone listening. May the Holy Spirit minister to all of our hearts now, as it pertains to each one of us. In Jesus' name, we pray. So, John, what I'm hearing, it's amazing, but what I'm hearing is a beckoning of the Father to his remnant right now. And I'll talk about what he's beckoning us to do in a minute. But the Lord told me several months ago, she will be made ready. And I think I discussed that on one of the last programs because it was at the beginning of the year. But it was in response to all the fear and trembling going on in, you know, the camp, the very camp of God. And what he's calling upon her to do right now will make her ready. So this is, he reminded me of that message, and this is all coming together. But I want to open with that message that the Lord gave the end of April. It's the one you contacted me about. And as I told you and Nancy, there was a lot I didn't share in that particular post on the website because I wasn't, I wasn't released to do it at the time. And now I see why, because the Holy Spirit, you know, he's given more revelation on some past words, which I have shared. But he began to bring it all together, you know, and provided for me anyway, he provided some astounding confirmation about what he's calling upon his remnant to do right now. So let me start there. And this is called It's Time to Come Inside on the website. And now I'm going to read pieces of that post as I go. I'm going to pull that up just one second. I'm sorry. I'm kind of disorganized here for a second. Okay. It was the first week in April, and the Holy Spirit told me I was to quickly finish the assignments he had given and then to come inside. He specifically said, finish what you're doing and come inside. So he also gave me a vision of me walking into my house. And I saw myself turning and shutting the door behind me, okay? And now at the time that he told me to finish and come inside, I was working on it was like three projects, and I was working on the last major thing I'd been told to do when I moved out here last September. But, I mean, let me just tell you, it has. It's been a struggle. It had been a real struggle up to that point, to say the least. It's like every storm in the natural. You know, we had the ice storms, we had the snowstorms, you know, and lots of spiritual, I'm telling you, some spiritual things going on. Warfare had come against to hinder the completion of these projects for me. But when he said to quickly finish my assignments and come inside, everything began, thank God, to flow and come together. It was amazing. But so the last week of April that I finished and finally walked up the back steps into my house, and I turned and shut the door behind me. And just as I saw in the vision, I mean, it just clicked at that moment. I was acutely aware that something huge had taken place in the spirit. And it was as if my entire focus, and it did, it focused, that focus shifted as I wrote this on the website, as I in essence said to God, here I am, Lord, you know, use me as you see fit. Oh, Lord God, use me as you see fit. And a few days later, after that, I came in and I was like almost comatose for for a few days, just sleeping. But after a few days, on April 28th, the Lord awakened me at 3:14 a.m. He woke me up. I always have a habit. I'll glance at the clock, knowing that I've been awakened for some reason. But I laid there waiting, but I began to drift back to sleep. And then suddenly the Lord said, many are going to die. Will you get up and pray for them? And it was very insistent. I felt ashamed, you know, that I wasn't already up praying. But I'm telling you, I got up immediately and went to my prayer room. And I didn't know. I didn't know if something was getting ready to happen any minute, if there was an explosion. War break. I had no idea. I had no idea at that moment. So since I wasn't sure, I just began to pray in the Spirit. And the Spirit led me in prayer and began to show the Father's heart for the lost. I mean, the love of God for the lost began to come upon me and the tears began to flow. And he led me to intercede for those who would die that very day. Without knowing him, I was led to pray that they'd be given another chance, you know, to repent and cry out to Jesus to save them before their death. And he also showed me masses of like lines. I saw lines of young girls and women. I knew they were in line to go into abortion clinics and terminate the lives of their unborn that very day. So I prayed for angels to be sent out. I prayed for hearts to be convicted of sin and change, you know, basically praying for the salvation of all who would need it. And I prayed for the veil to be removed, that they would be given another chance, you know, to repent and cry out to Jesus to save them. But then, saints, the Spirit led me to pray for the body of Christ. It specifically turned. So I was praying for everything as the Spirit led, but this was major also. He led me to pray for the body of Christ. He let me know the Father's heart. And the Father has heard the cries of his people, okay? He's heard our cries for our friends and loved ones. He's heard them for our brothers and sisters in the church. And as they turn a deaf ear, you know, they seem to be oblivious to everything going on out there. He feels our heartbreak, you know, as we watch them offer up their bodies to the God of this world, you know, turning a deaf ear to all the warnings being given to his servants. And just skipping, I just picture it like times in my life where I've just been la, 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 skipping down the road. Then I cried out, oh, God, don't let it be too late. Please save them, Lord. And it was at that moment I heard the Lord say, my people are hard of hearing. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of various frequencies, you know, or hearing ranges and how static background noise interferes with our ability to hear. And he showed me that that's what's happening to many of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We know that Jesus said his sheep hear his voice and the voice of another they won't follow. But what the Lord showed is that their hearing has been impaired to the point they're not able to clearly hear the voice of the Lord. There's too much noise. There's too much confusion. There's too much of everything. And so I speak of brethren all, I speak to them, for all the time. And I know you do, John. I know a lot of us do. We speak to our brothers and sisters all the time, people that love the Lord, you know, but they're listening to so many voices, too many voices. And then everything kind of gets scrambled together, and you have confusion, and the spirit of fear, you know, starts to creep in. And it's happened to all of us. It happens to me, you know, all the time if I allow that to take place. But we know the enemy. He's working, right, to create as much noise and distraction, you know, in all of our lives as much as he can. And we'll talk about this in a minute. But the Lord himself is responding to the cries of his people, you know, concerning all this. And he's calling out to his remnant, it's time to come inside. And saints, he's telling us that we need to quickly come inside. You know, it's crucial that we take shelter under his wings, you know, enter into that secret place. And it is for all the reasons stated in Psalm 91. But he showed me specifically that time. He's talking about something else here. He's talking about what we're supposed to be doing in that secret place. And as a result of that, all those promises in Psalm 91 apply to us. But he's showing us about much more than our safety, our own personal safety and salvation. It's about love, right? Love for our brethren and the lost. It's about laying down our life for them, you know, laying down the line, interceding. You know, he's saying many are going to die. And the way it stands at the moment, he's showing that that number includes not only the lost, but some of God's own people, you know, whether it be for lack of knowledge, whether it be among those hard of hearing, whatever. We know he's not just talking. He showed me he's not just talking about their physical death, but spiritual death. So he's asking each of us, he's asking, will you get up and pray for them? And he's saying, where are my intercessors? You know, will you be my intercessor? The remnant of God are being called to come inside and shut the door to all outside noise, all the distractions. And we're being called to take our seat in Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Now, this place has already been prepared for us. You know, we know that. Paul said in Ephesians 2, he said, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. It's a finished work. Everything that needs to be done, Christ did it. It's done. But he's not going to force us. He's not going to force us to take our seat in Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father. He's not going to force it. But it's from this sacred place that we join together in the Spirit to intercede for the lost and pray the will of the Father upon the earth. We won't even know how to pray unless we're in that place. So it's crucial. And now the book of Acts shows what happens when saints come together with one accord, okay? And that's the key. That's the key that the Lord is showing, coming together with one accord in prayer before God. You know, they were all together with one accord when the Holy Spirit fell upon them on Pentecost. And they were endued with power from on high, it says in Luke 24:49, and it talks about it again in Acts 2:1. And we know that Peter and John were arrested. They were threatened, right? They were told not to preach in the name of Jesus. And they immediately, when they were released, they immediately met with the brethren, and they raised their voice to God with one accord, saying, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed that, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out and spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, that's, you know, mentioned in Acts 4. So thanks. These are just couple of examples, you know, reminding us of what happens when God's people come together with one accord to pray. I can just raise my hand here. Just stop for a second. I can raise my hand here, and it's different. It's different when you're praying alone, and that can be some glorious times, because that was me and the Lord for years and years, you know, alone in that prayer room. And of course, I was a member of church and stuff, but I never had experiences like I did when I was alone with God until a certain time period. And then he introduced me to some people who are of like mind. And so I had a prayer group in my home, just small. I like to keep it small and intimate, and some other places in a church conducted some prayer groups and things, but nothing like coming together, you know, with others, you know, where it says that two or more gathered together. He's right there in the midst of us, and it's glorious. It's glorious. So, so like I said, those were just a couple of examples. So I'm hearing, and I'm saying, and we're all watching these things and listening. I didn't get to listen to the whole program or anything, John, just the end, but I mean, it's like, It all makes my heart start beating fast. I mean, we're hearing constantly, you know, myself, the Spirit is telling me, and other saints I'm hearing, because it's becoming very apparent that we need to be filled to overflow with the Spirit of God, to be endued with power from on high. We need another Pentecost, right? We need a special anointing for these days, because these days are different. These days are different, you know. Oh, there's a reason. There's a reason that the Lord said we're going to, you know, do greater works than him, because he's going to prepare us for that. He's going to join with us. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But the Lord showed me it's not going to happen until his people come together with one accord, okay, and lift up their voices. And I heard you say that a little bit ago, John, about us, that you pray for us to come together. That the walls of division, and the Lord has showed me that years ago. That's when he started showing me, giving me understanding about how he was building his temple, you know, and this is before I even knew that much about all that. But he gave me these visions, and I saw the church, and all of a sudden they come together. I saw walls, literal walls. We were kind of in these dividing things, like a sheepfold, but they have these divisions and dividing the sheep. And the walls began coming down, and the people grew together and started coming up, like, and it looked like a mountain. It was in the shape of a mountain, grew up, and he showed me that was the temple, you know, coming together as a holy temple unto the Lord. So, whew, anyway. So the people see that we need this. We need this. We need the power of God to be able to stand in these days that get ahead. And so we need to lift our voices in prayer. That's what he's wanting us to do. He's preparing it. He said she will be made ready. Okay, so his remnant are being called forth to do that right now. We're being called to join together and do that right now. But remember, I mentioned a little bit ago how there was so much more that I hadn't shared because I wasn't released to do so in that one article. Matter of fact, I was going to put another the subsequent one that I'm going to be talking about a little bit. I was going to put that on there, but some things happened today, and I didn't get it posted so that people could see that. But I'll get that posted in the next day or two. So, you know, I hadn't been released, okay, to share that, but I want to explain a little bit about that, because God was speaking many things into my spirit at that time, and I'll divide it basically into three main areas, just so we can all kind of follow what's being shown here. First, he told me why, you know, he told me why we're to come inside and be joined together at this particular time. The timing is crucial, and he's shown what it will take for us to finally come together of one accord. Just because you're coming, getting together with a group of people doesn't mean that you're coming together of one accord. We've all experienced that, right? Basically, he's showing what it's going to take for us to come together of one accord. And lastly, I'll cover what's going to happen when that finally takes place, when that takes place. And let me give you like a snippet, okay, a snippet, if you will, of these parts, like I was shown. Let me take a drink. I think I'm dehydrated. Regarding why we're to come inside and be joined together at this particular time, I gave a couple of examples, you know, how the Spirit led me to pray for all these various groups, right, those, the lost and those that were in danger of being lost and so forth. So that's the main thing, prayer. But right away something began to really, really be impressed upon me, and I knew what was happening. You know, I knew what was happening when he told me to come inside. When I came in the door, it was like, because of what was shown back in 2018. And when I came, like I said, in and shut the door behind me, God let me know that it's time for the network. And that's two separate words, okay? I know, okay, net, N-E-T. It's time for the network of God to be activated. Now, this is titled on the website, The Real Network. And back then, God had shown what he's doing. And he showed the enemy's plan against it. Now, I'm going to read just the vision part of it. Just it's kind of short here, but let me read just the vision. I want to, so you can really get this. Wow. I saw, now I'll say this. What he showed me in the final vision, he had been showing me this for pieces, snippets, for a few years. But then, and each he would add to it, you know, as he adds our understanding to things that he says. It might not be exactly what we think, right? But he adds things. So he gave me like the final vision, and he told me to write it. So I saw what looked like a computer circuit board. And it was about the size of a small laptop. And actually, I was looking down, and I saw it actually come out of my torso. And it hovered in front of me, okay? An electrical current consisting of fire, blood, and light began to flow, you know, throughout the circuitry. And it began to enlarge. It began to spreading out away from me. Transforming into the appearance of a deep-sea fishing net. And the squares within the net were about 4 by 4 inch, you know, with knotted corners, just the way those fishing nets are, those corners knotted tied. And as the electrical current flowed within the net, whenever it hit a knotted corner, there was an explosion of light. And then I saw the net from a distance. And I saw it spread around the earth, and then it enclosed together and connected. It connected together. And once it encircled the earth and lifted, you know, it connected, and that electrical current, it began flowing powerfully within it. And I watched, and it looked like this net all around the earth with these and the Lord called them pods, but these corners. It came alive, and I it was just pulsating with energy as light, and I kept seeing light and like electrical current and blood, like it was flowing through it, and then it began to rise into the atmosphere, and the net rose high above the darkness that had encircled the earth by that time, which wow, look at this, it's encircling the earth now, and then it stopped. It rose up above the darkness, and then it stopped. And then suddenly, it was let loose and fell to the earth, sinking deep into the ocean. And after a bit, it began to lift from the water. And as it lifted up, I saw the net was full of fish. Now, that's the end of the vision. But the Lord had immediately revealed, the fish net represents the body of Christ, okay? And each knotted corner is a pod. He called it a pod, which is a group of saints linked together by the electrical current, which we know is the Holy Spirit. The Lord showed that's the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit connects together to all the other pods within the body. And I never thought of the meaning of pod. I don't know why I didn't look it up at the time. I didn't think much about it. I just group, whatever I was thinking. Well, that's what they call a group of, what, dolphins, maybe whales too, I think. But think of how they are connected by, you know, currents, right? I mean, you know, woo, high-pitched currents, things like this with the Holy Spirit. But anyway, so the Holy Spirit connects the body together. And saints, this is the bride being miraculously networked together. And individuals are being called out and separated, at which time an intense purification process begins. He showed me this back then, and I wrote this. I'm reading pieces of it here. But like I just said, when I came in, he told me it's time. It's time. And that the network is getting ready to be activated. And he showed me then at an appointed time that net of God will be complete and then activated. And only then will he fill his temple with his glory. You know, the bride of Christ will become that holy habitation for our God, Ephesians 2:22. And she'll rise above the darkness to take her seat in Christ Jesus. And then at that, like, it paused for a minute. And I see that as the glory being filled, you know. But at the right time, after she rises to sit with Christ Jesus, the right hand of the Father, it'll be released. Once the bride takes her seat, his net will be complete, activated, and released to bring in the greatest harvest, you know, ever to hit the planet that we've been anxiously awaiting. But he also showed at that time the plan of the enemy. And he showed that the plan of the enemy is to do whatever he can to stop the body, which is the bride of Christ, from rising and uniting with the head, which is the bridegroom. Satan knows God's net working his people together through the Holy Spirit. So he's been feverishly working on his own networking system. And we know everything he does. You know, we know it's a counterfeit of what God's doing. You know, and all the things we know, Satan's building a metallic network within the bodies of humans with plans to activate it through certain high-frequency technologies. And I don't know a whole bunch about that, but I know a lot of you listening know exactly what I'm talking about, but the devil knows. He knows it's written that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, he knows what's written about God fully indwelling his people. He knows scripture better than us. So the devil's trying to set up his temple within the bodies of humans, and he thinks he's going to stop God's plan and beat him to the punch, so to speak. Let me get back to what happened after I came inside. A morning or two after I came inside, it was during my study time, I just so happened to come upon Leviticus 10, verse 3, which says, "By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy." The Holy Spirit stopped me right in my tracks, right there, okay? I was then instructed to study the context, and let me see, I'm getting some interference here. Let me make sure everything's okay. Okay, I'm hoping everything's okay. okay, so it was during my study time, like I said, Leviticus 10:3, and it says that, "By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy." What's the Lord calling us to do? He's calling us to come inside, right? The Holy Spirit stopped me in my tracks right there. And I was then instructed to study the context. So I went way, you know, chapters ahead, after. And Leviticus chapter 8 through 10 describes the setting apart and cleansing needed for the priest before entering the presence of God. And they were to touch nothing unclean, wash their skin, garments, then anoint themselves with the oil, and, of course, you know, offer the sacrifices for sin. And so to sum up the first point of why God's telling his people it's time to come inside and shut the door to all outside distractions is because God's in the process of completing his net work, you know, the body of Jesus. She's being consecrated, purified unto him in preparation to enter the holy place, just as those priests had to do, okay? He's beckoning us to become one with him and each other, you know, to become of one accord. Now, the second thing that was impressed upon me is the question, what's it going to take for the body of Christ to finally get to the point of coming together in accord to pray like they did in the book of Acts for more of God? You know, the kind of prayer that moves God to the point of pouring out a fresh anointing of his Spirit. You know, to let the former and the latter rains fall upon us like that second Pentecost, so to speak, enabling his people to go out and speak the word in power. What's it going to take? You know, what is it? So I want to share something real quick. When I came inside, I was shown that I was to, for lack of a better term, activate a prayer group, okay, a pod, as the Lord had called it. Now, I'd made a feeble start of that back in 2018 when he gave the revelation about this. But upon entering my house and shutting the door a few days, almost weeks ago now, the Holy Spirit told me it's time. So for me, God's kept me connected personally, you know, with some very anointed men and women of God to pray with, but one-on-one, you know. But he wants me, and he's calling his people, to begin working together. He wants me to begin working together with a small group, if you will. So that's what I did. I, you know, arranged for a few of us to be able to join over the phone to pray together, you know, as the Spirit led. But Saints, the first thing that became apparent in our group, in our prayer meetings, is all knew they needed a touch from God to make it. We all acknowledge without a mighty touch from God, we won't be able to stand. You know, we won't be able to stand against what's coming. And we all agree. We all agree and are in one accord on this. But the question is still, what's it going to take for the entire body of Christ, the remnant group, as a whole, to cry out to God in one accord as they did in Acts? And I think we all agree, you know, throughout Scripture, it's always been intense pressure of some sort, right, and persecution. You know, we see that building now, don't we? I mean, look at all the wolves in sheep clothing now outwardly. They're outwardly preaching another Jesus. And we were warned all through the New Testament, but, you know, specifically Paul was speaking heavily on that in 2 Corinthians 11. I mean, they claim to speak for him, you know, saying things Jesus would never say. You know, they're saying Jesus would tell you to do things that are contrary to the written word of God. But these mouthpieces of the devil are, in essence, encouraging their followers to put their trust in the kingdom of this world, to allow their bodies to receive the devil's brew. You know, the word's clear. The word of God's clear. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, that's in 1 Corinthians 3:17. But the Lord's given ample warning of what's coming down the pipe. Okay, the wicked are threatening. You're hearing all kinds of things, threatening to exclude anyone who won't bow down to their dictates. And there's many dictates going out there. Unless you obey, you won't be allowed to participate in Satan's society. You know, unless you can prove you're adhering to his rules, you won't be able to go to work. You won't be able to go to school or travel, to buy or to sell. Okay, but you know what? It's only right if you think about it. I mean, God's like, well, what are you thinking that's so bad? It's right. The lines are being drawn between two kingdoms here. You know, and God says, decide this day whom you will serve, right? We're seeing the battle lines of separation being drawn between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. There's no middle ground now. You know, if you refuse to bow to the God, the little g God of this world, you won't be allowed to play in his playground. You know, and this is where the rubber meets the road, as my mother used to say, you know. So you better use this time, all of us. We need to use this time to examine our foundation, saints. Are you really standing on the rock? That rock being Christ? You know, that was one of the first things that the Lord was showing me as I was seeking him after coming in. And please understand, this coming in doesn't mean you stop living, right? I mean, you have to do things, but it was in the spirit, because I could be in the spirit with him doing this or that or shopping or working or what, you know, things like that. But no, he began to impress upon me, check your foundation, look for cracks, you know, and I began to speak to the prayer group about this. Guys, we need to really examine our foundation. Are we really standing on the rock being Christ? What do you believe, right? Do you really believe the word of God? Do you believe he's able to take care of you? No? Because to follow Christ now, in these days just ahead of us, and others are in certain countries, they're having to do it now. But for us, it's coming here. It's coming to, you know, a place near you. But because to follow Christ now is going to be a total walk of faith. So I think the second part that I mentioned earlier, or question, if you will, posed to me of what it will be like before God's people are moved to cry out for more of him with one accord to receive power from on high, as they did in Acts, when we're faced with intense pressure or persecution. Either way, it's from the enemy. You know, it just starts closing in and pressing in, but the persecution. And I'd like to share an amazing confirmation, the amazing confirmation that I mentioned earlier, which God gave me a few days ago. And this confirms everything I've mentioned so far, as well as the lead-in to what will happen, okay, once this united cry, you know, we join in one accord and we cry to the Father. But it was a dear brother. It's a dear brother in Christ who lives in Australia. And I talk and pray with him quite a bit. He contacted me about something that happened. And I wish I had time to do the whole thing, but I only have time to barely scratch the surface of what he's gone through, you know, the last 2 years. Dealing with witchcraft and actual covens of witches in the last two towns that God's sent him to live in. And these are, I mean, they were running them, and he's in a little Mayberry-type town right now. He just thought it was just going to be, you know, heaven on earth. but no, it was run by a coven of witches here. But it's apparent the Lord wanted him trained. Okay, he's been dealing this for years. It's apparent the Lord wanted him trained in these things for these days, and that's all. He would really be upset if I said anything more than that about him. But he's given permission for me to share what happened to him a few nights ago. Okay, and like I said, I don't have time to share much more than that particular night. But when he told me about it, he called me up and he told me about it, and I said, oh, I wish you would write this up. Well, he did, and then he gave a background, kind of like a small book, but he sent a write-up containing a lot more detail and background info, and he posted it on my website under, it's Open Talk. It's in the Open Talk section, and it's big blue. It says Open Talk, and people post, you know, like their dreams and visions in there. So I said, hey, feel free to post it on there. And if people want more information, you know, if you can look. And his name, he's going by the name of Ozzy. In case you want to know more, you can go to that section and look up Ozzy in the comment section, right? Let me read just a couple pieces directly from his write-up so you can see where he's coming from. So he gives a little bit of background and is thinking about things and then jumps into what happened that night. Okay, I'm going to start reading. This is him. I suddenly realized that I was in a spiritual battle that I was unprepared for and had better get prepared fast just to survive. So I desperately prayed, and I read my Bible and found every scripture I could on the subject. I went online and found the Western churches sadly linking. I mean, they were lacking in spiritual warfare. But the mighty Christian pastors from Africa and the Caribbean areas had grown up with witchcraft. Okay, they had to fight to stay free and victorious in Jesus and were a real help, as they could explain how it worked, why it worked, and how to overcome it in Jesus' powerful name. And I thank God for these men. It came to my mind in my attempt to make sense of what was going on that at some point in recent time, Satan had laid down a challenge to God like he did with Job. And he asked God for more power for his people to overcome God's church, as they had become slack, worldly, compromised. And God agreed to the challenge. I mean, right? I mean, he came at it from a legalistic view, right? And so God took him up on the challenge. Now, God agreed purely because it would sort out the men from the boys. God knew that the persecution from Satan's human agents and powers would send his true servants to their knees for help and to ask for power to overcome, and that he would then provide all the power of the Godhead to them to do that. You see, Satan is only a created being. His power's limited. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All power in heaven and earth is in Jesus Christ, whose body we are. But if you don't use that power, if you don't receive that from Jesus, guys, it's useless. And Satan and his agents will have a field day with you. Witches are very sneaky and deceptive, and their attacks are usually under the radar, because you see, if you don't know that you're being attacked, then there's no resistance. You know, they're cowards. They don't want to have to pay the price for their wickedness. They know that someone has to do that, so they choose an innocent person as a sacrifice to take their place. They cast spells, so their target is sacrificed by proxy. That person will suddenly die in a car crash or some other, you know, tragic event. It'll look like it's perfectly natural, but it's not. Okay, there's been plenty of that happening around here. Now he's talking about, you know, his whole town. He said it's a reverse of the Holy Communion with the body and blood of Jesus sacrifice. I've had to learn a lot the hard way, fast, in this little country town to survive and overcome. We have had to learn to put on the armor of God and use the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6. We've had to learn to hide under the shadow of the Almighty, under his wings and in the strong tower of the name of Jesus Christ, Psalm 91. Now we do our own. He says, now we do our own communion as part of our worship to Jesus, and we do it often. Because it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there with them, Matthew 18, verse 20. And we treat it as a holy time, and he does. He treats it as a holy time. He said, the other night we had prepped everything and started to praise Jesus and declare what he had done for us on the cross when something very powerful happened. We were thanking the Father for sending his only begotten Son to earth for us. We proclaimed and thanked him that he became sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that he bore all our diseases and infirmities, that the chastisement for our peace with God was put on him, and that by his stripes we are healed. We were healed. We thanked him that he became a curse for us, because it's written, cursed is anybody who hung on a tree. And those who bless us are blessed, and those who curse us are cursed. We praise him that he raised us up with him through our faith and seated us with him in heavenly places. We praise him that he has given us authority to trample serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us, Luke 10, verse 19. We thank him and praise him that Jesus has given us the keys to the kingdom, and that whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven, Matthew 16, verse 9. Then we solemnly took communion, taking the broken bread of his body and the wine as a symbol of Jesus' blood in reverence. We thanked God for all that Jesus Christ had done for us. We told God that we come boldly into the throne room through Jesus Christ's blood, that we may find grace and mercy and help in time of need. And we really needed it, that grace and mercy from him and help in this time. As they stated in Hebrews 4:16, and then he inserts this, he says, we needed power because the witches had power, real power. We had seen it, and we had experienced it, and we had a certain amount of victory, yes, we did, over their attack by applying God's word, but we needed more. We needed a lot more. And it had come to my attention that God had said that he had not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. I had always concentrated on the sound mind aspect of that verse, but God revealed and opened my thinking up to the first thing mentioned, which is the spirit of power. 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Okay, and then he continues. I started to cry out to God that we needed this power, this resurrection power that had been promised to us in his word, that he had allowed, that he allowed these witches to have power, and that we should have a lot more, because it says in his word that God will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I thank God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. As I cried out to God for his power to fill me and lifted my hands to him in worship, my body and my arm started to shake, and shake some more till I was violently shaking. So much so, I thought the chair was going to fall over with me, but I didn't care. The shaking continued, and I felt as though my entire body was like a huge flame that engulfed me and reached way above even. And the words that kept coming to me were, because you ask for it. And I felt him filling me, and it started to fade a bit. And I threw my hands back in the air again and went, oh no, I want more of this. I need more of this, and I'm going to have it. And then started to shake all over again. I could feel him pouring through the top of my head and through my body and settling down somewhere into my stomach area. Now, Satan, that's all I have time to read. But he called me up just after this happened to him. And it seemed he was still, like, shaking to me. I mean, he was, like, in wonder. It's like, ooh. And he said, Diana, I don't know exactly what's happened. I feel fine now, but I know something has happened, and I haven't quite sorted it out. And I just, at that time, I opened my mouth, and I said to him, you've received a glimpse of what's going to happen when the remnant come before him and cry out to be filled with his glory and power. Now, Saints, let's sum it up here. The Lord's calling out to his remnant, his bride, okay? It's time to come inside and shut the door behind you. And he wants us to come inside that secret place with him, to shut out all the noise, you know, and distractions and seek his face. He's telling us in advance many are going to die and asking if we'll get up and pray for them, you know. And we've been shown the large mass of deaths will be from many sources because he's showing his heart for the lost and having us pray for those that don't know him. And even those in our midst, our brothers and sisters that aren't hearing clearly, as written in 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 to 26, we pray if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. They've been taken captive by him to do his will. Okay, so the Lord wants us to understand he's getting ready to finish the work in us. His bride will be made ready, okay? She will go through a final cleansing and purification. This is the final cleansing of the spiritual temple of God. Praise you, Lord God, Almighty One, for that temple is holy, which temple we are. A final fire is going to be used to complete this process to make her ready to receive God in his fullness. And he's saying, I am going to fill my temple with my glory. The Lord is reminding us of the power of coming together with one accord, brethren, to be endued with the from on high. You know, and she will cry out. She's going to cry out from the very midst of the fire of persecution to her God, asking him to fill her with his power and glory. And the bridegroom will suddenly come to his temple and fill her with himself. She's joined together as one. She will be joined together with one, as one with him in the heavenly realm at the right hand of God. And brethren, this is what Jesus was referring to when he said that we're going to do greater works than him. You know, because this is the head of her, the head of the church, finally uniting with his body, with his very bride. Thanks, the whole world's groaning. The whole world's groaning in travail, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And this scripture, you know, it should take on a whole new meaning for us, you know, as we look around at the misery the world's in already and knowing so much more is coming. And saints, this will be the beginning of the rescue mission. Remember some time ago, the Lord said, are you ready to submit the petition? Saints, we know his judgments, and that is, he showed that to be the petition, asking God, calling upon him to release his judgments, because we know his judgments are holy. They are righteous, and that is going to be the time many will be brought to their knees. Some of those we're praying for right now will finally begin to come to their knees. Well, he said, are you ready to submit this petition? Well, only he was qualified to answer that, wouldn't you say, if we were ready? And if you remember, in that, he said that his people, his bride, she wasn't crying aloud to him for that, but said, she will cry to me. He said, she will cry to me. And he's showing, he's preparing her now to make her cry. I see him hearing our case, rendering his judgment, and it's made final as that gavel comes down and the strong man is bound and the rescue mission begins. And I'm just going to say, come soon, Lord Jesus. John, I believe I'm at a good place to turn the mic back to you, brother. Thank you so much.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That was awesome. And very timely. You know, I was mentioning earlier in the program that we're, you know, to some of us, it feels, you know, those of us who are following the pulse of the end times events that are happening across the world and measuring them against the warnings in the Bible, you know, are perceptive of the reality that there's an appearance, maybe not, you know, this is superficial appearance, but nevertheless, one which seems to indicate that we are not, but things are not moving forward quite as fast as they were a short time ago. But that also can change on a dime. And this current time is probably, bar none, the best time for us to really draw in closer and closer and closer. And, you know, I don't want to be too colloquial, colloquial, but practice makes perfect. And, you know,
absolutely.
And you really, for example, just to give you a really fantastic example, in the book How to Heal the Sick by Charles and Francis Hunter, Francis, who writes the opening of the book, and by the way, they were one of the most prolific and well-known, globally well-known husband and wife divine healing teams. I actually met them in person, but I was young, very young. And but anyway, in the beginning of the book, she admits, blew my mind. I couldn't believe I was reading what I read. She said that her and her husband, Francis, you know, Charles, wanted to serve the Lord so badly and wanted to get people healed so badly and stood on the promises of the Bible so badly that they had, to her estimate, she estimated in the book that they, the two of them, had laid hands on people and prayed for their healing more than 10,000, she estimated, before they saw one single miracle. So
right.
It kind of follows suit, you know, I guess the Spirit is bringing to my mind. You know, Jeremiah, was it 33:3 or something like that, where it says, seek me, if you seek me, you will find me, if you seek me with all of your heart. A lot of us will praise, but we won't become immersed. I've even made myself a little post-it note with a Sharpie marker on my, you know, master bedroom bureau to remind me to set aside that time where everything gets turned off, all the distractions, lock the door, and immerse myself into that spiritual, because really it's a spiritual, if Christ, this is going to be controversial and I don't care because I got to cut to the chase. And if I may be pamby around, I won't make the point. Look, if Christ lives in us, the Spirit of Christ lives in us. Now you can grieve the Holy Spirit and for a time he may leave. But if you, once you repent and you get back in the swing of things, the Spirit of Christ will emerge. The Holy Spirit will, we'll just say, amplify within your spirit because you have the Spirit of God breathed into you at you know, conception. And when that occurs, your spirit has now become united with the Godhead. And you are now a part of that Godhead. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fact. And so by immersing yourself, and this is all over the Bible, I could sit here and just quote one scripture after another. One of them is 2 Kings 20, verse 5, where Hezekiah got spared by the Lord because the Lord said he had seen his tears. You got James 5:16b, it says the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. The emotional output is a key factor to the merging of the Spirit of the Godhead with your spirit, making, for lack of a better term, I don't even know how else to word it, but it becomes, it unifies you with that Godhead. It makes you one with Christ, and it is an emotional event, and it does not happen by mamby-pamby, you know, half-baked, you know, it's amazing, but most people will put very little effort in receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then some people are blessed and they may receive it because they're at the right place, the right time, and the Spirit is moving, and praise God for that. But the majority of people walk around confused. Many of them turn into cessationists, believing that there is no baptism of the Holy Spirit because they didn't receive it.
The reality is
that God wants us to seek us. We will find him if we seek him with all of our heart. And we got to put that effort. Now is the best time ever. The best. If this is the eye of the hurricane, folks, what better of a time to really sink it? We should be on our knees begging God to help us to fall in love with him, to love Jesus with all of our heart, mm-hmm. to be absolutely obsessed, and to desire being in the secret place in the Most High, to desire shutting off the TV, mm-hmm. to locking the door, mm-hmm. banishing everybody from interrupting us, waiting until the kids are in bed, and really seeking God and doing it in an emotional way, letting our hearts completely go. Let your emotions go. Let the power of the Holy Spirit move into you. Become one with the Godhead, and you will see the power. Mm-hmm. You will feel the presence, and it will change your life, and you will want it more and more and more. And now is the time for us to be seeking that. There's too many people out there bouncing off the walls, listening to too much nonsense out there on the internet, and not spending enough time seeking the Lord and the power that we were given through his mighty word. Hallelujah. And this is the time to do it. So praise God that you came forward with message, because, and you know what, that's excellent, by the way, an excellent example to hold up. In fact, it's mm-hmm. the bar none best example to hold up is a witch coven, because when a witch coven, by virtue of the fact that they are human beings that have chosen to leverage the satanic powers using multiple strongman demons, oftentimes mm-hmm. protected inside of soul rooms that are created, you have to understand that is the worst case scenario in spiritual warfare. It is the worst.
Yeah.
The first time I started to study this, the testimony that I was hearing from the person that was giving their testimony in regard to the attack of the witch coven, I didn't believe it, because I was Pentecostal upbrung. That was my upbringing, Pentecostal, and I was taught, if you say in the name of Jesus, I bind and cast you out, it's just the game. It's a game over. You win and they lose. That is not the case when you are dealing with a witch coven. And you have to know where you're going to study that information. You have to know how to pray against those kinds of attacks. Sometimes you'll just be afforded. If you are really serving the Lord and you are saving people's souls like crazy, you are, you're basically your own version of Teen Challenge, and you're doing fantastic things for the Lord, and a witch coven comes against you, sometimes the Lord will already have you protected with angels around your house. But most of the time, though, that is not the case. And you have to know what you're up against, mm-hmm. and you got to be prepared mm-hmm. for it, and you got to be full of the power of Christ. And remember the second half of James 5, where it says, if anyone seeks wisdom, let them ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. The key there is the second half of that. Okay, and the second half, now the first part is very, very important. But here's where people make a mistake. James 1:5, where it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Period. Now stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The next scripture says, the next verse says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts, now stop. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. Now see, that thought is connected to the prior verse.
Yes.
But the next clause of the scripture, James 1:6b, is a new thought that's related to the first thought, but is also related to every part of our walk. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and single in all of his ways. That there from James 1:6b, where it starts with the word, for he who doubts is like a wave, that is applicable to every part of our walk.
Absolutely.
I could go on for hours, to your point, Diane, 2 Timothy 1:7. The second that you feel an inkling of fear, you know that it's coming from one of two places, or both, probably both. Your lack of faith and the demons that are taking advantage of your lack of faith, because the accuser of the brethren is standing before the Father in the throne room of God, pointing down at you, going, look, that believer doesn't even believe in their own prayers.
Yep, that's it. He has the right to come against.
Amen. We've got to get past the point where we're watching YouTube videos and going, oh, no, and biting our fingernails and run for your lives and all that stuff. We got to start standing on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And get that going on now, because when it gets ugly, it may very well be too late for a lot of people. And you don't want to have to suffer. That protection, you got to start now, folks. Praise God. Because when it hits the fan, I could read you Proverbs chapter 1, verses 23 to 33. I recommend that you take the time to read it. Proverbs chapter 1, 23 to 33. Read it. Because basically that's our Father prophetically warning us that we either heed the warning now and act on that warning, or we're going to suffer. And when we suffer, he isn't going to be responding to our call.
Yeah. He won't hear the cry. Mm-mm.
That's a scary thing. I don't even want to consider it. I would rather, and I know you understand this, Diana, but I'm just, you know, for the listeners that are relatively new, because we have a whole lot of new folks that are listening now.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather walk out in a meteor shower or directly out into my cul-de-sac full of rioters and pray for them with the faith of Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and command the demons to be released from them, because that's what's controlling them. I would rather walk out into a meteor shower and have one of those meteors smash me into the ground and do it out of faith than cower in my house.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And I'll be thanking Jesus for the revelation of Isaiah 57:1 on my way to heaven, or Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Hallelujah. You know? But
absolutely.
I would rather, you know what I'm saying? I'd rather fail out of faith, or at least appear to fail out of faith, than be the opposite, you know?
Yep.
You want to close with a prayer for us tonight?
Sure. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for this time again. And Lord, I pray that you light a fire in the belly of your people, Lord. Give us your heart for the lost, those that you're asking us to pray for, Lord. Lord, show us how to pray. May we really, really come inside and enter into that close, intimate relationship with you and have your heart to pray your will upon the earth. Father, as Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and asked you to glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, and then say everything that is yours is his. And that everything of his is yours. And he said that he's glorified in us. He's glorified in us. So, Father, we pray that these vessels of ours give you all the praise and glory, Father God. And, Lord, we ask you to minister this message to all who've heard it tonight, as well as those who will hear it in the future. And, Lord, I pray for continued revelation and understanding. And we thank you, Holy God, for your Holy Spirit always leads us into all truth and will continue to show us things to come. And we pray all these things in Jesus' holy name.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you. And also, real quick, Diana, share with folks how they can get in touch with you always, and the URL to your website, and then we'll go ahead and close.
Okay, yes, my website is, you can just type in themightyhandofgod.com. And now, also, I've got another, but they're linked together. It's thenetwork.com. So themightyhandofgod.com.
Praise God. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. A powerful message, very timely, especially because we're not, you know, trying to run from earthquakes and massive tsunamis at the moment. Praise Jesus. All right. Thank you all for joining us tonight. We will see you Friday night at the prayer vigil, 7 o'clock, Lord willing. Praise God. Again, folks, I think this is a wonderful opportunity for all of us to be drawn in closer and steadying our walk on that narrow path. Let every man seek his own salvation with fear and trembling. Praise Jesus. God bless you all. Good night. Thank you, Diana.
Lord, we come to you with repentant hearts. We seek you with all our might. Sinners at the mercy of grace, redeemed we are by your embrace. Praise his holy name. Praise the King of Kings. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? For you we will endure until you come back for your bride to set her free. Write our names in your book of life. We are cleansed through your holy sacrifice as we lift your name on high. Renew our mind, renew our soul. Remove the scars from our past and deem us righteous. We rebuke all deceptive lies. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then we will endure. We are the branches on a living tree. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then we will endure. Until you come back for your bride to set her free. Watch us as we trim our wicks. Our lamps are full, our hearts are right. Like those five wise virgins we will be. Your bride awaits thee patiently. Longing for that blessed sound that will rise. The church is gathered. We're praying that we're worthy, Lord, to join our family. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? We will endure, and while we wait, we will bring forth the fruit of the light of Christ. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure until you come back for your bride to set her free.
I shall lift my obedient children to the clouds, for they shall see my glory.